Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan and welcome to Adhikrayat. And I'll be your host, Tasneem, taking you up to the next hour, just before the 3 o'clock news. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul uqtatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. We begin today's show by praising Allah. Bismillah alhamdulillah inna alhamdulillahi nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyatina a'malina. And we also begin by sending our blessings upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the chosen messenger, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. Ahlan wa sahlan, welcome to Adhikrayat show, where we talk about how to reclaim your magic. Adhikrayat is simple reminders for the believers, things that we take for granted, inshallah. Just a gentle reminder every week, firstly to myself and then to the listeners out there. So alhamdulillah, the lines are open. The number to call is 011-854-1548. Talking about today, I'd like to speak about something that we all have within our hands. We have such a powerful tool in our hands to help us get through the difficult times. This month is all about mental health and mental health awareness. And I think these are times, that we really need to introspect and see, how are we, who are we, and where are we going, and where have we been? And really introspect and, reshift and refocus and see, are we really in a good state? Because, alhamdulillah, physically we can see when something's the matter, when something's wrong. But emotionally it's a bit more difficult to, that's only between you and Allah. You know when you're not feeling up to your 100%, performing to your maximum. Because being a Muslim is all about being productive and reaching your full potential. And inshallah, this dunya is all about ahsan. It might not be about perfection, because perfection is only for Jannah. But we need to reach that point where we can say, Ya Allah, I've utilized all the gifts, all the talents, and everything that you've ever blessed me with. I've utilized it, and I've come to dunya, and I've used it in the service of your deen, in the service of your creation. Subhanallah. So inshallah, this is the month where we look within ourselves and see, how can we be better? What can we do better? And how can we be better people and be better to others? So within us, we have a powerful tool within our hands, to help us get through difficult times, to find relief after suffering, and to attain what we strongly desire. And this tool is no other than dua. Dua mukhul ibadah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that dua is the essence of worship. Subhanallah, dua is the weapon of a believer. So making dua is turning to Allah with complete trust. Total tawakkul to Allah, that Allah hears our prayers. It is supplicating with sincerity. So we need to have total reliance in Allah. We need to have total trust in Allah. We also need to have sincerity in our intentions and purify our intentions, and an earnest desire and a reliance on Allah. Subhanallah. So your dua will be answered as long as it is coupled with action, but also with sabr. So basically, we have to do our part. You do your part and Allah will do the rest, inshallah. For example, just for all the kids listening out there, it's exam time, and inshallah it's that time of the year for university students and whoever might be writing exams. You study hard for that exam. Then you wake up after, burn that midnight oil and make sincere dua and make dua tahajjud time. And be rest assured that you will score an excellent grade in that exam, because you did your bit and Allah will do the rest, inshallah. So as Muslims, we are encouraged to constantly make dua to Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed so much importance on dua that he said, dua mukhul ibadah. Dua is the essence of ibadah. It's the essence of worship. And this hadith is narrated and reported in both At-Tirmidhi and in Ahmad. Dua is actually a form of worship. When we look at the following verse in the Holy Quran as a reminder from our Lord that we should constantly turn to Allah to make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter 2 in verse 186, "And when my servants ask you, O Muhammad, concerning me, then answer them, I am indeed near to them by my knowledge. I respond to the dua of the supplicant when he calls on me without any mediator or intercessor. So let them obey me and believe in me so that they may be led aright." So many of us have neglected this form of worship. Others may become hasty and impatient with their dua, you know, especially when our du'as are not answered immediately. And for a believer, it's a win-win situation. If Allah doesn't answer your dua in this dunya, or if He doesn't answer it right now, He will answer it at a later time, inshallah. Because Allah is all about timing, and He knows when it's best, because we plan, but Allah is the best of planners. And if that dua is not answered for us in this dunya, then inshallah, that dua will be made possible for you in your qabr or in your akhirah, inshallah. And Allah knows when is best for you, for that dua to be accepted. Because sometimes we love a thing, but it's actually bad for us. And sometimes we hate a thing, but it's actually the best thing for us. And sometimes only through wisdom and time and experience do we actually learn this and realize this. So many a times, you know, we become hasty, we become impatient when dua is not immediately answered. So never become despondent, because this is Shaitan's biggest trick. For us to lose hope in the mercy of Allah, for us to lose hope in the power of dua, because Shaitan doesn't want us to win. And dua is a win-win situation. So think about your own life. Have you experienced times in your life when you feel stuck? When you feel that your dua has not been answered? You know, you must persist, and you must never underestimate the power of dua. Maybe your dua will be answered at a later time. Maybe Allah has chosen something better for you than what you asked for. Sometimes Allah withholds what you want and instead saves the reward for you, perhaps in the hereafter. Subhanallah, and what can be better than that? There are certain blessed times of the day, special times of the week and the year, and there are also sacred places that can multiply the power of your dua tenfold or multifold. Make sure you know these special times and seize the opportunity to ask Allah for what you want, because these are the times of acceptance. So firstly, the time that we have every single night, the last third of the night. It's so important for us to take this time out and to turn towards our Lord. And Allah is basically waiting for us to ask us, you know, and He's asking us, what do you want so that I can give it to you? This is like the golden time of the day to ask Allah for forgiveness, for paradise, or for whatever it is that you need in this dunya, in your qabr, or in your akhirah. You know, in an authentic hadith which has been reported in several books, including Sahih Bukhari, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Our Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, descends each night to the earth sky when there remains the final third of the night. And He says, 'Who is saying a prayer to me that I may answer it? Who is asking something of me that I may give it? Who is asking forgiveness of me that I may forgive him or her?'" So, subhanAllah, prayers made late at night while others are either asleep or busy with worldly distractions like, you know, watching TV or browsing on your internet or whatever we do in that time of the night. This is the time that Allah is accepting dua, and we are fast asleep or wasting time with insignificant things. So when another time when du'as are accepted, 5 times a day when hearing the call to prayer, subhanAllah, the time of adhan, the time between the call to prayer and the commencement of the prayer is a blessed time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "A supplication made between adhan and iqama is never rejected." And this is reported in both in Ahmad, Abu Dawood, and At-Tirmidhi, subhanAllah. So 5 times a day we have a special time between the adhan and the iqama, and when we make dua in this time, it is never ever rejected, subhanAllah. Another special time of dua is Jummah. You know, Friday is a special day in the life of a Muslim, subhanAllah. It's the Eid of our daily week, and it is there. It's a blessed time when dua is answered. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that every Friday there is a period of time when believers can make dua and their duas will be granted. Some scholars have said that it is the time from the beginning of the Friday sermon, the khutbah, until the end of the Friday prayer. Others have said that it's between Asr prayer and Maghrib prayer. But inshallah, we should utilize the entire day, the entire Jum'ah, for us to, you know, to turn to Allah, because it's a very, very special day and it comes once a week. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting us so many opportunities to turn to Him, where He's guaranteed acceptance in our prayers and in our du'as, and we are not using these opportunities. Another time that du'a is accepted is while we are in sujood, during prostration, as you kneel in prayer, your head is on the ground. This is the only time, subhanAllah, that your heart is above your brain, subhanAllah, where the blood is rushing towards your brain, the blood is rushing towards your face, subhanAllah, you're feeling the magnetic earth pulling you towards the ground. 70,000 veils are being lifted between you and your magnificent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at this moment, you are nearest to Allah. And, you know, we're praising Allah in that moment, and you're asking for good of this world and in the Akhirah. It is in this nearest moment that a worshipper can come to Allah. So we need to make a lot of dua, and inshallah, this dua will be accepted in that sujood. In the last part of your first prayer, when sitting down, just before ending your prayer, and just after the third prayer, in fact, we should always try to make dua. You know, never ever forget, because we're always rushing off that musalla. Take 2 minutes, 5 minutes after your third prayer and read your ayatul kursi, and then inshallah make a dua. Maybe spend a few minutes making dua for yourself, but remember the ummah in your duas. And this was the method of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he would make dua, he would make dua for himself, he would make dua for his family, but the bulk of his time spent in dua was dua for us, for the ummati, 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 subhanallah. And when we look at the times around us and we see what is going on in the Muslim ummah, you can understand the tears of our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is the sadness and the worry that we should also have as believers, because there is no Nabi after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this message of Tawheed rests upon our shoulders, and we need to make dua that every single creation of Allah enters, a human being enters the gardens of Jannah, inshallah. And this is the worry, this is the concern, this is the fikr, and this is the gham of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this realization, take us out of our selfishness and heedlessness. And you know, alhamdulillah, we make dua, but how many of us actually make dua for the ummah? How many of us actually make dua for our neighbors? Subhanallah, the best way to have your answers, your dua answered also, is to get the ameen of the angels. And the best way to get the ameen of the angels is by making dua for others, because when you make dua for your friends, for your neighbors, for the ummah at large, for people overseas that are suffering, for people in your own neighborhood that might be going through some difficulty, whether it is a physical illness, a mental illness, a financial difficulty, we don't know what people are going through. And really, it's not our business to know the details of what they are actually experiencing, but it is our business to make dua for them. And inshallah, if we remember them in our du'as, the angels say ameen and same to you, subhanallah. So we must make du'a that everybody enters Rawdatul Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. And the angels say ameen, and maybe the same thing be for you, subhanallah. So what better du'a than the du'a of the malaika, who are totally pure, subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers their prayers, inshallah. So it is very important to take this time during our salah, during our sujood, after our first prayer, and remember to make, you know, fervently make dua and ask Allah for all our dunya needs, for our akhirah needs, for what we want in our qabr. Make all of this a reality for us, because the day our eyes close, that's the day the doors of dua close. So until that moment, inshallah, we can ask for anything and everything. We need to draw from the treasures of Allah's arsh, and Allah is limitless. I mean, in His power there is no limit. So we need to ask for whatever is in our heart's desire, as long as it is pleasing to Allah, and inshallah beneficial for us in our dunya, in our qabr, and in our akhirah, inshallah. Another beautiful time to remember Allah and to make dua is during rainfall. As the sky pours, let your tears pour and make dua. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a beautiful hadith, two will not be rejected. The supplication when the adhan is being called and at the time of rain. Subhanallah. When it rains, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us beneficial rain always, inshallah, always make that dua. And Allah is very happy when it rains because this is Allah's mercy coming down. So inshallah, the doors of duas are open and inshallah we should ask Allah during this very beautiful time. Another time when we, from hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when du'as are accepted is when hearing the crowing of a rooster. So this is an authentic hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when you hear the crowing of a rooster, ask Allah of his bounty, and for it has seen an angel. And this comes in both Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And you know, sometimes, alhamdulillah, for those that are living in the more rural areas, unfortunately in the cities, we don't really hear the privilege of hearing the roosters crowing, especially at daybreak. Subhanallah, Fajr time, if you are living in the rural areas, you'll hear the crows, you'll hear the roosters crowing, and sometimes it can be quite annoying. But subhanallah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that we should revisit this thought and look at it as a blessed time when you hear the crowing of the rooster, we should ask Allah from his bounty and ask him for whatever we need, because the angels are being seen by the rooster, and that is what is causing the rooster to crow. Subhanallah. There's so much hikmat and wisdom in our deen, and Allah makes it, you know, when we really study deen and we understand the hadith, when we understand Quran, deen becomes so beautiful to us. And inshallah, worshipping Allah and practicing deen actually becomes a pleasure. And you actually taste the sweetness of Iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding and let us get to that point where we become so thirsty for ilm that we continue to learn from the cradle till the grave, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our efforts while we strive in His path, because Allah says that this is so important. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it in a countless number of hadith, that it is so important even just to learn one ayah and to spread that ayah and to spread the message of Tawheed. So inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the understanding. And when you find yourself, you know, find yourself in gatherings of deen where you are learning deen and learning ilm, it's so important, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah, when Allah loves a person, He grants them understanding of deen. But I think most importantly, it's not just the ilm that we have, but it's the amal, and we need to practice whatever little that we learn. And the best way to practice is it, to practice upon that knowledge that we are achieving and acquiring all the time, is by speaking about it. Because once you speak about Allah, once you speak about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that love will definitely enter your heart. And inshallah, it makes it much more easier to practice upon it. Because once you relay the message to somebody, it makes you more conscious of that. And inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all a living flags of Islam and the flag bearers of Islam, and make us all da'is, and may we raise dies, inshallah. And we will be back after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan, and welcome to Ad-Dikrayat. You're on Radio Islam, medium wave 1548. Radio Islam International, coming to you live from our studios in Lanesia on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Subhanallah. So today we're speaking all about this powerful tool that we have in our hands to help us get through difficult times and good times, and just to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this powerful tool is dua. Dua is mukhul ibadah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a beautiful hadith, dua is the essence of worship. So inshallah, we should tap into this tool that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us and use it to the best of our ability to get the best out of our dunya, qabr and akhirah. But I think most importantly, it's also important to understand and to look at the hadith and to see which are the best times to make those duas, inshallah. Because there are certain times within our days, within our week, within our months, special months of the year, special days of the year, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and comes in hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that these are guaranteed times where dua is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us maximize and use these times, these special times, to make that dua, inshallah, where we can gain maximum for our dunya, qabr and akhirah. So just before the break, we were speaking about these very special times. And inshallah, another special time to make dua is when drinking the beautiful water of Zamzam. The supplication to make while drinking Zamzam will always be accepted, inshallah. And it is recommended that you make the supplication while drinking the Zamzam water, inshallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, we should make this dua that, oh Allah, I seek beneficial knowledge, good sustenance and a cure from all ailments, and that is the sunnah dua that we recite while drinking Zamzam water, inshallah. And now the special time of the year is Ramadan. The month of fasting is also the month of forgiveness, the month of mercy, and the month of protection from the hellfire. And Muslims during this special time of Ramadan should be in a constant state of worship, dua, prayer, giving, serving others, and recitation of the Holy Quran. And inshallah, we look forward to that beautiful month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with many Ramadans so we can cash in and maximize on this beautiful time where we spend in close proximity to our Rabb, inshallah. And inshallah, in this beautiful month, our du'as are accepted. Another special night in this beautiful month is Laylatul Qadr, the night of decree. This night is the greatest night of the year, subhanallah. Allah has said about it that the night of Al-Qadr decree is better than 1,000 months. And this comes in chapter 97 in verse 3 in the Holy Quran. On this night, Allah gives to those who ask Him. And He gives bounties of rewards and forgiveness and mercy and acceptance of their dua. And it is one of the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And some scholars and ulama have said that, you know, it could be any night in Ramadan. But most narrations go on to say that it's most probably the 27th or can be any one of the last 10 nights. But inshallah, let us maximize on every single night in Ramadan. And inshallah, let us start preparing for that very special month. Because before we know it, it might just be upon us, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the privilege of spending another Ramadan and many more Ramadans to come, inshallah, in the best of faith and in the best of health, inshallah. Another day that has just passed us by during this blessed time of Hajj, the day of Arafah, whether you are performing the pilgrimage or you are at home, you know, we shouldn't let this day of Arafah go by without making dua. And from the noon prayer, which is Dhuhr, until Maghrib prayer, which is at sunset, we should dedicate our time to seeking forgiveness from Allah, making dua and asking for the higher stages in paradise. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the best supplication is a supplication on the day of Arafah, and this comes and is reported in At-Tirmidhi Sharif. Subhanallah. Another time when duas are accepted is during Safar, when we are traveling. So during traveling, the traveler's supplication will be answered. So whenever we are traveling, we get so overwhelmed and excited and we forget to make dua. But try, it's almost time for holidays again, inshallah. And when we're traveling again, please try and make a lot of dua while you're on your journey, because Allah said that this is the time that your duas will be accepted. Another special time also is when the fasting believer breaks his or her fast. The dua made at the moment you break your fast when hearing the call of Maghrib Adhan will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the dua of a fasting person also, whether it's a nafil fast or a fard fast, inshallah, we should take the special time out just before we're breaking our fast, inshallah, when Allah's mercy is descending upon us, to make a special supplication and ask for whatever our needs are, inshallah. Dua of the one who has been oppressed and unjustly treated. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companions, fear the prayer of the one who has been wronged, for there is no barrier between it and Allah. And this comes in Bukhari Sharif, subhanallah. So, you know, we should be very careful of this hadith, because we don't know when we might be oppressing or harming someone, or, you know, unjustly treating someone else. So, and when they make a dua, whether it's against us or for us, especially when it's against us, we should be very, very, may Allah save us from this, and we should be so conscious of asking people for forgiveness, because we might, you know, subconsciously or without even realizing hurt somebody's feelings. So I think it's very, very important to take stock of ourselves and to ask people for forgiveness and to ask Allah to forgive us. Another time when du'as are accepted is at a gathering for the purpose of remembering Allah. So if you attend a halaqa or a lecture to gain knowledge about Islam, or perhaps a study session of the Holy Quran when you're doing tafsir, the du'a of that student or the lecturer made will be accepted by Allah. Subhanallah, this beautiful hadith shows some of the benefits of attending such halakas or learning circles. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a beautiful hadith, if a group of people sit together remembering Allah, the angels will circle them, mercy will shroud them, peace will descend onto them, and Allah will remember them amongst those with Him. And this comes in Muslim Sharif. So if you have not already been calling upon Allah in dua, try it because it works. Subhanallah. And you know, dua is the essence of worship. It's mukhul ibadah. So, you know, and I would love to hear, you know, some of your experiences of making dua and how your duas came true. Subhanallah. So give us a call. The number to call is 011-854-1548. And we've all seen miracles unfold in our lives. It will be so lovely to hear you and for you to share with the rest of us, inshallah. So just moving on from there, I'd like to discuss Surah Duha. You know, many of us know Surah Ad-Du'a off by heart and have probably read its meaning many times as well, which seems quite straightforward if you just read the English meaning of it. But how many of us, though, have actually gone into the reason behind its revelation and derived the lessons and implication this surah has in our lives? You know, it's a great text to save and make intention to learn the surah if you don't know it already. Surah Ad-Du'a was revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at a time when he had not received any revelation for some historians say the tafsir says between 6 months or so. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became quite disturbed. He became a bit, you know, feeling low, and he was feeling a bit sad. And this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayat. And, you know, don't we sometimes have similar feelings in our lives? You know, sometimes, you know, we're feeling low, our level of iman is low, our khushu in salah wavers, and we feel a drop in our connection with Allah. We feel like our du'as are not being answered, our salah is not having a positive impact on our lives, and worst of all, that feeling that we're horrible human beings. You know, so I think we need to take stock of our lives and see where we are at. And these are basic human emotions that we need to embrace and we need to be aware of and we need to be conscious of, because this makes us self-aware. And I think, subhanAllah, self-awareness is the key to anything and everything in this world, because that gives us a sense of purpose, of what we need to do, of where we're going, of who we are. But Allah doesn't, you know, sometimes we think that Allah doesn't love us or He doesn't care about us anymore. And these are normal emotions that as a human we go through. But Surah Ad-Du'a was revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to relieve him of these sometimes negative feelings that we as human beings also feel. And it, you know, just like how it gave hope to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Quran on its own is a shifa, subhanallah, and there's such beautiful chapters and surahs within the Quran that were revealed specifically for this purpose of positivity and assurance that Allah is with us no matter what. So from this beautiful chapter of the Quran, from Surah Ad-Du'a, we can find peace, we can find hope, we can find tranquility and a renewed faith in Allah when we're going through similar states of, maybe I wouldn't call it clinical depression, because that's a whole different topic on its own, and that would need proper diagnosis and medication. But just as human beings, we feel sadness, we feel hopelessness, we feel a bit, you know, we lose hope sometimes, and we feel a bit desperate in different situations. So what does this surah actually say? As it starts with what duha, which means by the morning brightness. This is the first thing you need to hear when you're feeling a bit down. Think about when you wake up and you look at the beautiful sunshine, subhanAllah, and just looking at the sunshine, automatically you should feel that sense of gratitude, subhanAllah, that I have another day, a new opportunity to get closer to my Rabb, to get closer to what I want to be in this dunya, and a new opportunity to change and, you know, rise to that position and to, you know, to attain those goals and things that we've set out for ourselves. Everything in life is not doom and gloom. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this dunya as a means to you know, to benefit us, inshallah, and as a means to get closer to Him, and as a means to work towards our akhirah. So we can't only look at dunya as a negative thing and a negative place, but while we are here in dunya, inshallah, we should notice the sunshine and subhanallah, be in a state of gratitude, because recently research has proven that gratitude actually changes the chemical structure of your brain. Subhanallah, and it's something Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us 1400 years ago. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala revealed these miracles in the form of ayats of the Quran that teaches us, you know, about gratitude, about looking towards the sunshine, and, you know, by the morning brightness, wa duha, subhanallah. So, you know, just looking at this, and then the ayat goes on to say, and by the night when it covers with darkness. Why is this ayat immediately talking about darkness? As a reminder to us that the night is meant to cover and give us comfort and rest. And generally when we're feeling down, we tend to get into a very bad sleep pattern. You know, alhamdulillah, I've been working in the field of psychology for, alhamdulillah, 15 years. Allah has given me this opportunity. And whenever a client walks in, whenever I'm doing intake, one of the many things we go through on an intake form is, how are you sleeping? How are your nights? Do you have problems falling off to sleep? Or do you doze off and then are you waking up in the middle of the night? Are you waking up with nightmares? So one of the first things that will affect your afiyah, that will affect your well-being, that will affect your state of being, it will affect your sleeping. Your sleeping and your eating, subhanallah, because it starts with an emotion, with a feeling, but it does manifest in a physical symptom, which is sometimes restlessness and lack of sleep. So when we speak about nighttime, we need that sleep. You know, we tend to get into a very bad sleep patterns by staying up at night and sleeping all day. Thereby, some people that are depressed sleep a lot, so thereby worsening our state of mind. And sleep is so important. So this ayah reminds us to use the night as a comfort to ease our distress. And inshallah, if we can't fall off to sleep, then, you know, spend that time in ibadah, spend that time turning to Allah, because that is the best time when our du'as are accepted. Imam Shafi said something to the effect that a du'a made at tahajjud time is like an arrow that never ever misses its target. Subhanallah. So let us utilize this time. It's a beautiful time when Allah has descended upon the lowest heaven and He's asking out and calling out to His servants that, who is asking of me so that I may give you? Who is asking forgiveness from me so that I may forgive you? Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us realization of these special moments in this day, in this, you know, in every single day, that we can turn and turn to Him and worship Him in the best of way, inshallah. We will be back after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome back to Ad-Dhikrayat. I'm your host, Tasneem. Today we're speaking all about the power of dua and when to make dua, which is the best times when our du'as are accepted, but also looking at, sometimes we only turn to Allah when we sad, so we also need to turn to Allah in our happiness, and inshallah, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, always praising Allah in any condition that we find ourselves in. But just before the break, we were speaking about, we were going through the ayats of Wadduha, Surah Ad-Du'a, and we spoke about by the morning brightness, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, He speaks about, you know, this is, to wake up, look at the sunshine, everything in life is not doom and gloom. And then we spoke about, Allah goes on in the ayat and He says, by the night when it covers with darkness. And then Allah goes on to say that your Lord has not taken leave of you, nor has He detested you. So basically, Allah, this is a very powerful verse from Allah telling us that He doesn't, you know, hate us. He hasn't forgotten us. He's reminding us, especially when we are in a sad state and when we're feeling a bit down, that He's always, always by our side. Subhanallah. And then Allah goes on to say, and the hereafter is better for you than the first. You know, basically Allah is saying that the hereafter is much better than this life, inshallah. Many times when we're depressed or when we're feeling sad, we think, is this all my life is going to be? Is it never going to get any better? And this ayah serves as a perfect answer to show those questions, you know, to to answer those questions, reminding us that this life and this worldly life is temporary, and that the Akhirah is certainly a better, more permanent place for us than this world could ever be. This makes us also look forward to attaining our place in Jannah, and helps us look at any problems in our lives as temporary tests of our faith from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I think it's very, very important for us to take cognizance of the fact that this life in dunya is but transient. And before we know it, in a blink of an eye, this is what Allah says in another verse in the Quran, this life is going to be over. So I think what we need to do is now shift our focus and focus on the Akhirah, and inshallah use this dunya as a stepping stone to that better and greater life, inshallah. And Allah goes on to say in Surah Al-Du'ad, and your Lord is going to give you and you will be satisfied. So it's almost like a promise from Allah that very soon He will give us a massive reward, which will be Jannah, and we will be so, so happy in a place where there is no sadness. Subhanallah. So I think it's so important. And you know, this is the best thing to hear when you're feeling down or you're feeling fed up with this worldly life and your problems, you know, just seem to be piling on and piling on and piling on. But I think always, you know, focus on the bigger picture. Allah goes on to say in Surah Ad-Du'a, Duha, that did He not find you an orphan and give you refuge? So from this verse onwards, Allah gives us a reason to believe His declarations and promises in the first half of the surah. Now many of us may think, how would this ayah about orphans relate to the majority of us? Think about it. Weren't there many times in your life when you were sick or lonely and you felt like you had nobody who cared about you? Who was the only one by your side at that time? It was only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was He who took care of you and guided you out of your stage, out of that difficult stage in your life. So at one point or many points in our lives, we've all felt this discomfort that an orphan feels. We all felt that feeling of aloneness, of feeling weak, or feeling that nobody even cares about us, that we have no one by our side. And it gives us an opportunity to realize that at the end of the day, we come alone from Allah, we're journeying alone in this dunya, and we will return alone to Allah in our qabr. And you know, we are going to be alone in our qabr. Subhanallah. So I think the closer we realize how important this relationship with Allah is, the less we'll focus on all the transient ones. But I think if we fix our relationship with Allah, Allah fixes your relationship with everybody else. But learning to love everyone for the pleasure of Allah. Because even the children that you love, your husband that you love, your sisters who you love, your friends who you love, one day they will all return to Allah. And then what? You're going to be feeling alone, you're going to be feeling scared, you're going to be feeling totally abandoned and lost. So as long as you have Allah in your heart, in the core of your heart, in the lub of your heart, then inshallah, Allah fixes your relationships with all others and you love everyone for the pleasure of Allah. But remember that Allah is eternal and your heart is eternal. So attach your heart to something that is also eternal and that is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that way, you're saving yourself from major, major heartbreak and disappointment. And then the ayat goes on to say, and He found you lost and He guided you. How many of us, despite being born Muslims, have found ourselves misguided and straying away from Islam, maybe now, maybe in our past? It was Allah who guided us to Hidayah and brought us back to the straight path and to Him and made us practicing Muslims today, alhamdulillah. And we read Surah Fatiha every single day, countless amounts of times in every single rakah that we read, in our five times a day prayers, in our salah, you know, we read Surah Fatiha, and in Surah Fatiha there's a beautiful ayat that speaks about, oh Allah, guide me to the straight path, Siratul Mustaqim. You know, when Allah speaks about the Siratul Mustaqim, we're constantly asking Allah for this guidance and to guide us to the straight path. Because Allah says in Surah Ad-Duha that He found you lost and He guided you. Subhanallah. And then Allah goes on to say that He found you poor and He made you self-sufficient. So many of us have probably gone through many periods in our life when we have been short of money and wealth. And subhanAllah, looking back now, we realize that it was only Allah who gave us that risk in some form and got us through those tough financial times. And even if we're currently going through some financial difficulty, we should turn to Allah, because risk is only in Allah's hands. We make that effort, but Allah does the rest, inshallah. So when a person is feeling down, when you're feeling low, you know, think about the times that Allah has helped you. Allah has helped you in the past, and He will, you know, this will strengthen your conviction and believe in the promises of Allah. And you know, this surah actually gives you hope for the future, because money comes and money goes, subhanAllah, but Allah is always a constant in your life. And then Allah goes on in the surah and He says, so as for the orphan, do not oppress him. This ayah is the ultimate antidote to sadness. You know, whenever we're feeling sad, people are mostly consumed with their own situation. We become so stuck in our own grief, in our own pain, and we feel that nobody could possibly be in a worse situation. But what does Deen teach us? What does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teach us? And this ayah reminds us to look at people who are in far worse situations than ourselves. We know when we're feeling hopeless and depressed, and it doesn't mean that we're minimizing our own pain, but we also need to be realistic and look at the orphans who have no family or loved ones and nobody to care for them. And basically turning to our situations, looking within your life, looking through a lens of gratitude, and looking within your life and counting your blessings and thinking about all the greatness and goodness Allah has blessed you with. And then, you know, it will make you look at life through a different lens. And inshallah, because, you know, two people can be going through the exact same situation, but if one looks at it as a survivor, from a survivor's lens, and one looks at it through a victim's lens, the outcome is very, very different. And may Allah give us the wisdom and the hikmat of wearing our survivor lenses, inshallah, and looking at life through the survivor lens. So we have families, alhamdulillah, we have parents who love us, we have a roof over our heads, we have food on the table, and we still think that we are in a bad situation, subhanAllah. So it really gets us to internalize, to look within ourselves, and to try and train our brain to be in a state of gratitude. And then Allah goes on to say, and as for the petitioner, do not repel him. This is another example of a beggar, to once again remind us of the many material blessings that Allah has given us that we take for granted. For example, food, shelter, clothing, these are all basic human needs. If we go through the Maslow hierarchy of needs, this is the basic human need is food, clothing and shelter. And how many of us have ever gone to sleep hungry? How many of us don't have clothes to wear or don't have a home to go to? These examples of the orphans and the beggars are ones we should constantly remind ourselves of, to be thankful for the numerous blessings Allah has given us. So inshallah, it gets us to, you know, to revisit our sadness, to revisit our grief, and to look at people that are much, you know, worse off than us, but also giving us this connection to Allah again and being in a state of gratitude. And Allah goes on to say, but as for the favor of your Lord, you know, this is the final ayat, and Allah says, report it. This final ayat is about maintaining that renewed faith and bond with Allah by pondering, by glorifying, and by talking about the blessings of Allah, either in terms of, you know, attending halakas, discussions with the family and friends, or even just doing dawah. You know, dhikr, reading Quran, listening to lectures are also great ways to keep the remembrance of Allah close to your heart, by being with the orphans, by being with the needy, feeding the hungry. So the next time you feel disconnected, disheartened, or feeling a bit low, you know, when your level of iman or your connection with Allah is a bit low, read Surah Ad-Duha and ponder over its meanings, and inshallah it will restore your faith and it will give you hope, just the way it did to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it will increase your belief in the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, you know, just by having this realization and, you know, being in a state of gratitude can really, really change the chemical structure of your brain. And if anyone, you know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in a beautiful hadith, if anyone constantly seeks forgiveness from Allah, Allah will appoint for him a way out of every distress and a relief from every anxiety, and will provide sustenance for him from where he expects not. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the realization of whatever has been said. And from me and my engineer, until we meet again next week, fi amanillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.